This morning, Governor Deval Patrick led a forum on one of the big challenges in the criminal justice system, how to help former prison inmates re-enter society and stay there.
Among the governor's initiatives, better access to educational, vocational, and life skill programs, as well as expanding substance abuse and detox and rehab programs. According to Don Berwick, the state is going in the right direction on this issue, but in a piece published today on WBUR's Cognoscenti opinion page, he says it needs to go further.
Dr. Don Berwick is a former administrator for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services and a former candidate for governor of Massachusetts. Nice to have you back on Radio Boston, Dr. Berwick. What is wrong with the Massachusetts criminal justice system?
It's pretty broken. The people in the correction system are trying to do a good job, but against tremendous odds. The rate of incarceration in Massachusetts, just like it is in the rest of the country, is much higher than in any other Western democracy. It's a very much a racial issue. People of color are much more likely to be in prison than people not of color. And our approach to the rates of incarceration, rehabilitation in prison, and reentry after people leave prison are outmoded and ineffective.
Actually, I think not only is Massachusetts on average with some other states, but also worse performing in certain respects.
Yeah, we're behind other states in a lot of dimensions, and we're now currently planning on building more prisons at a time when other states are finding ways to downsize their prison populations with much more progressive approaches to rehabilitation and alternatives to prison.
So how progressive do you consider Governor Patrick's move, part of which is happening today, the step-down program, allowing inmates, for instance, to complete their sentences at houses of correction instead of in prison, so to better get them to integrate with the rest of the population as they are working their way out of prison?
It's a good step, a step in the right direction, but I would call for very, very bold political leadership. Now, why shouldn't Massachusetts be the not just average or below average, but the model for the entire country with respect to the way we look at the corrections issues? That would involve major changes in adding alternatives to prison, other options, taking away the mandatory sentencing to a large extent, which we have now, which ties the hands of courts in finding better ways to help people. We need to reinvest in rehabilitation processes when people are in prison, because that's one chance we have to help them get back on the right path. And reentry overall, this idea of when someone leaves prison, they reenter in a very productive way in the economy. The good news here is that despite our poor performance, there are models that are really excellent that reduce recidivism by 70 or 80%, and there are preventive models that can reduce violence upstream by equal amounts. So we actually know what to do.
So these are models in this state or others?
Both. In this state, we have great models. The SSYI program, Safe and Secure Youth Initiatives, that Governor Patrick started. The UTEC program in Lowell is fantastic. ROCA is internationally famous now. That's also a Massachusetts-based program, which has reduced gang violence, again, by 50 to 75%. So we actually know what to do at all three levels, how to keep fewer people from going to prison, how to help them when they're there, and to help them get back into society when they leave.
Just to be more specific, ROCA, the program that you talked about that goes internationally, now it's headquartered in Chelsea.
Yes.
As you write in your piece, it reduced incarceration rates from 65% down to 22%. How does it do something like that? What has proven to work?
Well, it identifies kids, people at risk, especially what are called proven risk youth. These are people already in trouble. We know who they are. We know they're going to get into deeper trouble. But when we reach out to them with street workers, people that can meet them on their own turf, show them alternatives, offer them vocational rehabilitation, vocational training, they can get their high school degrees, in many cases get into community colleges, offers them mental health care and substance abuse treatment. The interaction between substance abuse and prison incarceration is very high. And when you reach out to these people at risk and offer them an alternative, you can get tremendous results, and ROCA is just one example.
So these programs cost money, but as you note, it also costs, as you in your figures, $45,000 a year to keep somebody in a Massachusetts state prison. How much do these programs cost, and would they really save money?
Definitely they'd save money. I mean, the most intensive programs I've been able to find, like when UTEC does, that's the United Teen Equality Center in Lowell, when it reaches out to the most at-risk kids and invests most intensively, they estimate it may be about $20,000 a year. But that's actually the highest figure I've found. The SSYI programs, at their most intensive, are operating at around $8,000 a year. But the point is, for a fraction of the cost of keeping someone in prison, we can quite reliably keep them from going to prison and help them reenter society when they leave.
Yeah, that's really the key, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
It's clearly not just a matter of letting criminals go free so you can reduce the population in prisons, but it's also people staying out of trouble in the first place.
in the first place, and when they serve their time, they paid their dues and are back in society, when proper programs reach out to those people and help them get jobs, get housing, get integrated in community, get health care and mental health care, they don't go back to prison by any means at the same rate. So this is not a matter of failing to protect the public. We're failing to protect the public now by not treating this problem of incarceration correctly.
So explain why, then, if the numbers work out, funding is being cut for those programs.
I don't know exactly what the reasons are. I think a lot of it has to do with public misperception and, frankly, some demagoguery around, well, you know, with making the public feel very unsafe unless we lock people up. The opposite is true. The public is unsafe because of the way we use incarceration today. It also is an issue of racism and communities of color, because the rates of incarceration of people of color are much higher. In Massachusetts, an African-American is 8 times more likely to be in prison than a white, a Latino 6 times more likely to be in prison. And we have to deal with some of the underlying issues here of the residual of real unfairness and inequality in society. And that's a tough conversation.
The incoming governor, Charlie Baker, has proposed a focus on reducing recidivism, on getting in more job programs, substance abuse treatment instead of prison. Do you have confidence in those steps? And why, for a state that considers itself so progressive, has all of this taken so long?
It's taken long because I think people are afraid of, they're made afraid, and they don't understand. The public at large doesn't understand how good this could be, how much better off we could be. And I look to the governor and the legislature to learn and then teach about what really profoundly progressive incarceration and criminal justice policies look like and how much it helps us all. I hope the new governor proceeds with what he says he'll do. It's a three-part issue. We're going to have to invest in alternatives to incarceration, much more latitude for courts to do the right thing for people who are getting into trouble, upstream work on mental health care and substance abuse that keeps people from getting deeper into crime. We need to really fund the prisons to do the training and education and rehabilitation and mental health care they need to do. And we need very strongly funded reentry programs, which really do pay off. In the end, it's not just morally correct, it's economically wise.
Dr. Don Berwick, President Emeritus at the Institute for Healthcare Improvement in Boston, former administrator of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and former candidate for governor of Massachusetts. You can find a link to his Cognoscenti piece on this topic at radioboston.org. Nice to speak with you.
Thank you.
And stay with us. Coming up, a Cambridge doctor who says slow medicine, like slow food, is better for your health. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Lisa Mullins. This is Radio Boston.